Welcome to another episode of Spock Sports Show, sponsored locally through Barbary Law Firm. It's a look at everything sports here in the Mid-Michigan area. And now, here's your host, Chris Spock.
Welcome on into another edition of Spock Sports Show here on Buck 92 every Monday, 7 p.m. and podcasting wherever you get your podcasts. As always, we are presented by Barbary Law Firm. Every case they take personally. Conversation coming right up with the legend, Earl Hartman, talking Sacred Heart Academy baseball. Now, this team, just one of the best. Some of the players. A really cool convo about what these kids learn to play in high school sports that they can't in the classroom. But first, quick thoughts on the Lions draft. Now, the only question mark was the offensive tackle that we took out of British Columbia University. And the only knock on him was that he didn't play against great competition. He seemed to dominate against the competition. He did play, so I don't really mind that pick. And cornerback was the biggest need, and boy, we have really addressed it this offseason. We should have one of the deepest rosters in the NFL at defensive back, including a chance for there to be just two absolute standouts. With Terrion Arnold, who many had as the number one defensive back in the draft, and we got him at number 24. And then Ennis Rackestraw Jr. out of Missouri. Some people even had a first-round grade on him, and we were able to get him deep into the second round. So those two guys have potential to be starters. Also picked up Carlton Davis and others in free agency. It's that defense much, much improved going into next year. Just what we did, the cornerback and defensive backfield positions. And also, watch out for Mekhi Wingo out of LSU. He has a chance to be really, really good, I think. Now, without further ado, I was able to catch up with Coach Hartman last Friday, talk all about this great start to the season and much more to Sacred Heart Academy baseball team.
Coach, first of all, thanks so much for joining me in a pretty good start to the season. What are you guys, 14-2 now on the year?
I believe that's correct.
All right, and the only losses to Division I Bay City Western and Division IV powerhouse rival Beale City. And have you ever had a team? I believe you returned everyone, didn't you?
All but one player.
All right, and have you ever had that happen before?
We actually have, after doing this for 41 years, I've bought everything. And coincidentally or not, well, I shouldn't even say this, but the year that we did that, graduate just one full-time starter, we won the state championship the next year.
Oh, like I said, it's one of those, you got the team to do it, and I was out there Friday for you guys splitting with Beale City and the same with the softball team, and all I thought to myself is, man, whoever comes out of those districts is going to have a real good chance, and that's something we'll talk about a little bit later, but talk about the leaders on this team that you got. Like I said, you got a few strong seniors, and then you got some really good juniors as well. Who are the leaders of this squad?
Well, the leaders statistically and just leaders, Connor Stimke stands out. Connor was my most valuable player as a freshman. We struggled 3 years ago, 2021. We weren't even sure we were going to have a baseball team. We only had eight guys signed up in February and got a couple guys actually played the first week of the season because the basketball team had gone to the state semifinals or finals that year. Semifinals, I think it was. And there was some COVID going on. So we actually got two golfers off the golf stand in the outfield for us to play the first week of the season. And Connor was a 5'8", maybe 135-pound freshman who was the most valuable player. Well, now he's a 6'2", 185-pound senior, and he hits the ball very well. He has a career, I was just doing some stats, he has a career 613 on base percentage.
Wow.
So in 398 at-bats, he struck out 25 times through his career. So Connor definitely is one of the leaders, and being behind the plate, you know, that really helps there. This year, Grady Perrett is just hitting the ball crazy. Grady has been a good hitter as a freshman and a sophomore, but this year he was hanging around a little over 600, but now I think 571 Grady is hitting for us. Of course, Aiden Halliday is just a huge athlete. I mean, Aiden is 6'3 and 2++++. He's hitting 410 and leads us at extra base hits as he has for the last couple of years. Anyway, Jason Bogue, quarterback on the football team. Jason is in his third year on the varsity as a junior, but he's now a 6'2", 200-pound kid. So they have grown physically and hopefully they've grown mentally. That helps put this all together. Joe McDonald was an all-state pitcher last year as a sophomore. Joe is struggling a little bit with control, but we're trying to work it out. He seems to be coming around. Brady Davis, a sophomore pitcher, has been outstanding. Brady has a 0.32 ERA so far in the season. And he's pitched 3 2/3 against Bay City Western. He came in and didn't allow a run. He's pitched a no-hitter against D4 third-ranked Rudyard, 7-inning ball game up at the stadium, Central Stadium. And the other night at Beale City, he pitched 5 innings and gave up just a 1st-inning run. So it's not like he's beating up on all the Patsies around. He's pitching against some good teams and doing very, very well.
Yeah, I was there for that no-hitter at CMU. I guess I was up in the booth kind of hanging out with Mike Verlager, you know, just in the nice weather. And I remember thinking, I says, how many walks did he have? Because I got there a little late. And they looked, says, well, 1. How many strikeouts? 13. It was like, that is really darn impressive. Yeah, 0.32 ERA. I kind of want to go back, though, to Connor Stemke. 398 at-bats, only 25 strikeouts for his career. And, you know, to put that into MLB perspective, it's not quite, but that's almost Tony Gwynn-esque, isn't it?
It is. I mean, of course, Tony Gwynn, his numbers were just ridiculous off the chart as far as strikeouts go. But, yeah, I mean, he makes contact. Connor makes contact.
Yeah, for a high schooler, that's just crazy.
Yeah, this year he has 17 walks and 4 strikeouts so far in the first 17 games. So, you know, that's been close to being his mantra his whole career. 25 strikeouts and 85 walks on his career. So three and a half times as many walks as strikeouts.
Yeah,
that's why his on-base percentage is so high.
You'll take those numbers.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, and now, like I said, on the mound, talk about Joel McDonald, Brady Davis. Who are some other arms that we're going to see out there this year?
Well, Jason Boak is doing really well. Jason has a history pitching for us of, you know, maybe 2 strong innings. Maybe we can get a 3rd out of him, and then he just seems to have a little elbow issue that's bothering him a little bit. This year, he's pitched extremely well also in limited duty. Aiden Halliday, when he takes the mound, of course, he could beat anybody from the mound. We did that weekend that you're referencing to when you were up in the press box on Friday. We played 3rd-ranked Rudyard and 14th-ranked Norway in the stadium and beat both of them. Then the next day, we beat Maple City Glen Lake, who is now ranked in the top 20 because their only loss was to us. And a decent Marion team we beat. So in that 24-hour period, we beat 4 teams. And, of course, it wasn't Brady Davis throwing all 4 games. It was other guys stepping up and doing their job and coming to the mound when they need them and shutting people down. So, and we have a lot more ahead. There's still some tough stuff ahead. We're supposed to go tomorrow to Kalamazoo Central, a Division I team, to play. We have beaten, now I see their 17th-ranked Division III Langsburg. We've beaten them. We play Traverse City St. Francis yet in late May, and we may see Charlevoix over in the Big Rapids tournament. We haven't seen the schedule for that yet. And Charlevoix has been a ranked team also.
Yeah, I think Charlevoix beat Beale City too, and so you know that's big time right there.
Yep, I think they split with Beale City. Yes, Beale City got them once. So yeah,
when you look at this team, and you know it's still a little bit, you know, quote unquote on paper, you still got a lot of season to play. But is this one of the best teams you've ever had? You know, or what team would you compare it to when you look back at some of the best teams you've coached?
There have been a few. I mean, we started, and I can't tell you what year it was, 2008, 9, 10. 11, we started 30 wins in a row that season, and that was a really good team. The 97 team had a 30-game win streak after starting 2-4 and ended up 32-5, losing the state championship game. The 96 team was, I mean, they're the ones that went right through the whole schedule and won a state championship, and 95 was really very much equivalent to the 96 team. We just lost a catcher who played 5 years of minor league ball in the Orioles system. We lost him from 95 going into 96, but still 96 stepped up. And we had in 95 12 guys in the program who went on to play college baseball at one level or the other.
Wow.
And right now there's a number of kids who could be college baseball players. Our 3 seniors are all college athletes. Caden Rose doesn't play full-time, but he's going to Central to play football. Halliday is going to Northwood to play football, and Stemke wants to play hockey, and he's looking around at SVSU and a couple other schools who might have a club hockey program. But as soon as he decides what school he's going to, I'm on the horn with the baseball coach at that school saying, hey, you got a kid coming over who's a baseball player. If you can work it out with your hockey coach, you need him.
Time for a quick break here on Spock Sports Show. When we come back, more with the legend Earl Hartman talking all things Sacred Heart Academy baseball. We're going to talk a little bit about the loaded, loaded district with them in Beale City. Coming right up, Spock Sports Show every Monday night, 7 p.m. on Buck 92 and podcasting wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by Barbary Law Firm.
If you've got legal questions and you don't know what to do, my attorney is Joe Barbary. He can be yours too.
Hi, this is Joe Barbary. Here's a motor vehicle accident tip. If you've been injured in an auto accident, you don't have to go to Detroit to get the best legal team to represent you. Myself and my staff have been doing auto accidents in the Central Michigan area for over 30 years. Most people I know don't want to drive 150 miles to meet with somebody that they've never met before. If you retain us at Barbary Law, you'll meet with an attorney face-to-face, and you'll be minutes away from doing so. So keep that in mind. If you're injured, or God forbid, a loved one is injured or killed in a motor vehicle accident, contact Barbary Law and we'll take care of you.
My attorney is Joe Barbary. He can be yours too.
We now return you to Chris Spockman and the Spock Sports Show from the Barbary Law Firm's Mobile Sports Studio right here on Buck 92.
Welcome back to the Spock Sports Show here on Buck 92 every Monday night, 7 p.m. at podcasting wherever you get your podcast. Brought to you by Barbary Law Firm. Let's get back into my conversation. Coach Earl Hartman, Sacred Heart Academy Baseball.
When you guys play Beale City in that district, you know, I think about the 18 starters that are going to be out there. There's going to be 14, 15, maybe even all 18 of them that move on to the next level to play baseball, one sport or the other. Would you kind of think about that? How special is that?
You know, it's pretty special. We've had a lot of guys over the year go to play college baseball, and, you know, coming from a D4 program, they think, boy, I hit 500 and here I am, coach, you know, I'm going to help you. Well, everybody that's there, yeah. I mean, Alma College, we've had a couple kids go to Alma College thinking that they were going to light it up like they did in high school, and it didn't quite work out, and they end up being a sub or washing out of the system. But you know, that 96 team that I alluded to, well, actually the 95 team, if you include Mike Seestat, who went to Michigan and then into the Baltimore Orioles system, we had 4 or 5 Division I starters on that 95 team. And then another 3, 4, 5 in the program who played Hope, Olivet, Alma College, and all three that I just referenced were captains of those teams in their college career. So
was Scott Peratt on one of those teams that you're talking about?
Scott was one. Scott was a senior in 96, the year we won the state championship.
All right. So I'm going to really put a goofy one on here and a tough one and a fun one. Who's the better Peratt?
As of right now, the older boy, I call him, had a senior year that we can look at, which we haven't been able to do yet with Grady. So, yep. I said to Scott after Grady's freshman year, I was a little critical of him. And Scott looked at me. And I said something about comparing him to Scott. He said, you know, he just is a freshman. I said, well, yeah, okay. I don't think of him that way. But, he's a fine baseball player, hitting, as I think I mentioned, what he was hitting. I'd have to look again to see 571.
Yeah, I don't know if
Scott. Dad might have hit 595 his senior year.
All right. So he's almost right there in his junior year. But, you know, I got to know those two guys so well over, you know, with all the sports and everything, and just a ton of fun, yep, to cover them. And so it was one of those I remember thinking, I'm like, man, I think he would have been right around those years you're mentioning. So I had to bring that up and ask you, you know, one of those really, really tough questions, you know.
Yep.
What's your favorite part about coaching this team? You know, it might be the experience you got, the way these guys get along. You know, a lot of them had that long run together in basketball, some of them in football as well. What's your favorite part about coaching this group?
Well, you know, everything you just said. I mean, they're a good group of kids. They're goofy as a $3 bill, a bunch of them, when they get together. But, you know, they're good kids. They're smart kids. They're growing. You know, like I say, Demke 6'2", Halliday 6'3", Bogue 6'2", and all of them 185 to 225-pound kids. That they're just not, I mean, to call them kids, they're young men. They're even getting bigger than young men. They're men.
I'm looking up to all of them, that's for sure.
Yeah, and there's a number of other kids. I mean, Wyatt Brown has a he wants to play college baseball. And Wyatt is another one that does not strike out much. I don't have his career stats. Noah Zion, you've seen him play a lot in other sports. And, I mean, he is just fast. He hit a routine chopper to second base, and the second baseman come in, took his time, and Noah almost beat it out. I mean, he was like a flash down the line. You know, I hate to start mentioning kids without mentioning some of the other ones, but, you know, there's some real good ones. Ryan Wiggins has just really come on. I mean, we thought as a freshman that he was going to hit the ball really well, but he struggled big time around 125 or so as a batting average. And last year he came up a little. Well, this year he's taken over. The Beale City game the other night, his first at-bat, first two at-bats, I think he made their pitcher throw 23 pitches in his first two at-bats. He got two strikes on him, and the ball was just not going to – he wasn't going to miss the ball. He kept fouling off. Finally, the pitcher – that was a big part of having the pitcher removed, who won out in the second inning because the 23 pitches he had to throw to Ryan.
Hey, what's that like when you're watching a batter up there and against a really good pitcher too? Like you said, they refuse to let that strike three go by them. How much fun is that for you when you're down there, you know, on the third baseline and it's just foul ball? Like, what's that part of that moment of the game like for you? Because that's just kind of a different nuance of the game. Like you said, it's a big deal when you can do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's terribly unusual that would happen. I go back all the way. I just talked about him yesterday. Brian Rush was my most valuable player. Ryan's senior year, we were not a strong team. We only won 11 games. Brian was the winning pitcher in seven of them. Jeremy McDonald hit .333, and he was second on the team to Brian Rush's .432. So I call Brian my most valuable player. But Brian was just like a tennis player when he got two strikes. He would just volley the ball over second base, 30 feet out onto the grass, and he'd run to first base. He was extremely difficult to strike out. He was not Halliday or Stimke or Bogue standing in the batter's box. I mean, he was not a very physically imposing guy, but he just had the ability to put the ball in play with two strikes. He just did it by focusing on it. And as I say, just acting like a tennis racket in his hand and punched the ball over the net into short center field.
Yeah, so many times it's not about how hard you hit the ball, it's where you hit the ball, but sometimes that's tough to control. You just got to hit it as hard as you can, you know?
Yeah. Right now, one of our biggest issues is we hit the ball in the air too much. And I don't mean to berate our MSAC opponents that we've played so far, but there's been a lot of fly balls that Beale City and the other Kalamazoo tomorrow, they're not going to let them drop. Whereas you know, we've dropped a lot of our hits have been fly balls that they just don't quite get the jump on or don't see it or just don't corral it. And so we're working on that. We're trying to get the ball. I keep emphasizing, if you hit the top of the batting cage, you're out. You know, that's the ball in the air, and they're going to catch it.
Yeah, like I said, some of those Division IV opponents, in particular, that's what's going to be crazy. Once you and Beale get by each other, those next opponents, I guess, no, not this year with Fowler and some others out there, say it might get a little bit easier, but on some other years it might, but that's just going to be, you know, an insane district. Whoever comes out of that game, I think you guys are obviously going to have to get there first, you know, respect to the other teams as well, but it's just going to be big time. I can't wait to see it. And last question I always like to ask coaches, I've asked you before, but maybe you've got a different answer this year. What's something these kids are learning on the diamonds they just cannot learn in the classroom?
Everything. I mean, I've always said this, there's so much more to learn in the athletic arena. You've got the guy with the mask on behind home plate he's the same guy that's sitting in that car with the siren and the lights on top of it. You know, he's in control. You don't argue with him. You've got a coach who's maybe your manager if you're working at a store, or maybe your CEO if you're a CFO. He's still above you. This is what you've got to do. You've got a whole group of teammates that you have to coordinate with, like the workforce. I was part owner of an architectural firm that had 42 employees, and you know, you've got to have everybody on the same page, pulling the same way. And then, you know, this is the kind of things that come out of the athletic program that's really difficult to recreate in the classroom. You can ask a student to get up and talk in front of the class and they have a sensation. But I always emphasize to the kids, you know, I'm watching you guys play basketball because the free throw line embodies everything that it takes to be an athlete. Nobody's moving until you move. Everybody's watching you. You know, you have to be able to mentally handle that and be able to perform under those circumstances. And you just can't create that free throw line in the classroom. Brady Davis and Luke Hacker both into the free throw line at Breslin in that semifinal game. Of course, the game was over. We were 15, 20 points behind at the time. But they both got fouls and went to the free throw line. And under that environment, they both made their two free throws. And I was really proud of them for that. But, that's a sticker. There are a number of things, as I say, I've always said that. The athletic program will teach you so many things about life, rules, regulations, bosses, the sheriff sitting in the car.
I said, he can't recreate the free throw line in the classroom. I think that's I might use that for the future if you let me.
Certainly.
All right. Earl, thanks so much for catching up with me, man. We'll be catching up with you a little bit later again this season. And, man, like I said, looking forward to that loaded district. It's going to be a lot of fun. Appreciate it, Earl. We'll talk to you soon, man. Thank you.
Okay.
Another big, big thank you to Coach Earl Hartman. Take some time to chat with me. And another big, big thank you to you for taking some time to listen to another edition of Spock Sports Show here on Buck 92 every Monday night, 7 p.m. and podcasting wherever you get your podcast. Brought to you by Barbary Law Firm.
Thank you for listening to Spock Sports Show with Chris Spockman, sponsored locally through Barbary Law Firm. The views and opinions heard on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those views and opinions of Latitude Media, our sponsors, affiliates, and My104.3 or Buck 92 Radio. Check out our website for even more podcasts from around the area. Just go to MyMichiganPodcast.com. It's podcasting that matters.